Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You've come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Shike.
Hey, people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Shike. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. Today on the podcast, we're going to head to Israel, one of my favorite places to go and visit. And so we're going to head there. And specifically, we're going to go to the Sea of Galilee. Israel is important because God Himself chose to come and live, and die, and rise again there. And when someone dies, it's not really newsworthy. But when someone dies and rises again, well, that is newsworthy. And Jesus died and rose again there in Israel. So that's a great place to go and visit. Love to go there and have some trips planned in the future as well. So excited about going on more pilgrimages to Israel and showing people that place. But anyway, let's talk about the Sea of Galilee specifically today. I want to talk about storms on the Sea of Galilee and kind of introduce you to that if you've never been there, and talk about why storms happen there, talk about how they even happen today, talk about the kind of boat that Jesus was in on the Sea of Galilee and all that sort of stuff. We're going to begin with scripture, John chapter 6. And the setting of this scripture, this account, is on the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee. And the setting is the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus has just fed the 5,000. He's talked about how he is the bread of life and so forth. And evening comes. And John 6 verse 16 says, "When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum." That's Jesus' home base of ministry for 2 years. "By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on water, and they were frightened." No kidding. "But he said to them, 'It is I, don't be afraid.' Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading." So, numerous accounts in the Bible, different gospels, different accounts of the disciples being out on the lake on the Sea of Galilee. And when they're out there, they get kind of frightened because these storms come up. These are experienced fishermen. They lived on the lake, and yet they got frightened because of some of these storms that were incredibly huge waves on the lake. So where were they? How does this work? Where were they on the Sea of Galilee? Well, the Sea of Galilee is about, 7 miles or so wide, 15 miles long, something like that. You can see across it when you're standing on one side. Let's say you're standing on the east side, you can see the west side and so forth. So where does this event happen? This event happens on the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee, about halfway up the lake, in a place called Kersi, is where the feeding of the 5,000 happens most likely. And so the disciples have their boats there, and they, in the evening, get ready to go out and go across the lake. Really, they're going kind of catty-corner to the northwest side of the lake to Capernaum, which was the largest harbor on the lake on the Sea of Galilee at that time, and it was Jesus' home base of operations for 2 years. So the disciples are heading back to their home base. Simon Peter lived there. The disciples really lived there. We get another video talk about why they lived there. But it was a big fishing village. So as they head out across the lake, a storm develops. Now, the storms are not unusual on the Sea of Galilee. I've stayed right near Kersi in a kibbutz there, Kibbutz Ein Gev. And when you come back from touring, from pilgrimage at night, 5, 6 o'clock before dinner at 6:30, you go out and go take a swim in the sea if it's been a hot day. But when you go into the sea in the evening, like 5, 6 o'clock, typically waves are pretty significant, 3 or 4 feet high. So it's not for the faint of heart. Once you get out there, you're okay, but pretty significant waves every day. This is not talking about stormy weather. This is talking about every day this happens, that the waves are pretty significant, and they come pretty quickly. Unlike if you're familiar with the Atlantic Ocean, for instance, you kind of get this rhythm of waves coming in. But in storms on the Atlantic Ocean, waves come in faster. Waves come in pretty fast at Kibbutz Ein Gev, right near Kersi. And so you can kind of get a sense when you stay there of how the situation the disciples were facing that day as they headed out from Kersi at night on their boats. It took some significant effort to get the boat out onto the lake, first of all, from up on the sand or wherever they had it stowed for the day. And then they were rowing kind of against the wind all the way across the lake, and they kind of got stuck out there about 3 or 4 miles from shore, the scripture says. Capernaum's probably 6-7 miles away from Kersi, something like that. So they were about halfway there. It took them quite a bit during the night. Storms come up. Why are storms comes up? Why are storms coming up on the Sea of Galilee? Well, the Sea of Galilee is surrounded by mountains, not Rocky Mountains like size, but mountains that are 750, 1,000 feet high, something like that, around the whole sea, except for the lower part, the bottom, near Gadara, where the sea empties out. But basically, mountains surround the whole sea, except the south end. And also, with an exception of a place right near Magdala, just up from Magdala on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee. That place is called the Valley of the Doves. The Valley of the Doves is a break in the mountains around the sea. And so, in the evening, wind comes whipping in from the west, from the Valley of Jezreel, through the Valley of the Doves, and comes onto the Sea of Galilee. It has nowhere to go. And so, it just starts whipping around the Sea of Galilee at night. Therefore, when you go on a pilgrimage, most of pilgrimage tours include a boat ride on the Sea of Galilee, and we try to go out first thing in the morning when it's calm. But by evening and then later into the night, you got the wind that's whipping in through the Valley of the Doves and caught in the Sea of Galilee between the mountains. And so it's whipping around and causing waves to start going on the Sea of Galilee. You can just see that happen throughout the day. The waves increase to the point in the nighttime when it's not a good idea to be out there. The disciples are taking a risk going out on the sea, frankly, at night. So, does this still happen today? Are there still is it still a challenge sometimes to be out on the Sea of Galilee today? Well, actually, this is an article. I have an article here from Israel National News from July the 20th, 2024. So, not too long ago, but July 20th this year, 2024, when I'm releasing this. And so this is what the article says. It says, the Sea of Galilee, 17 people rescued from an overturned boat. The boat rolled off the coast of Capernaum. Capernaum. Where is Capernaum? Capernaum. Capernaum. It's Capernaum. This boat rolled off the coast of Capernaum. 17 people were rescued Saturday from a boat that encountered distress and overturned on the Sea of Galilee off the coast of Capernaum. MDA paramedics transferred them to the shore with minor injuries with the assistance of the Israeli police boat, fully conscious. The point is, a boat overturned on the Sea of Galilee by Capernaum. 17 people were tossed over the edge of the boat as the boat overturned. This is the second incident in recent days of a rescue in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. Last Thursday, a boat overturned, and teams arrived and identified seven family members hanging onto a buoy, which fortunately was on the boat, prevented them from being scattered while the boat they were on sank in the Sea of Galilee. How about that? So there you go. Air and sea operation launched to rescue the survivors, these 17 people who were on this boat that capsized right off of Capernaum, 2024. So why were the disciples afraid? Well, they were afraid because it's very dangerous to be out on the Sea of Galilee when storms come up, and they come up quickly because of that wind blowing through the Valley of the Doves. All right, so let's take a look at what a boat might have looked like back in Jesus' day. In fact, they've discovered a boat from the first century. This was discovered a few years ago and very, very, very carefully dug out of the mud on the edge of the Sea of Galilee. So what happened was the Sea of Galilee, the water level had receded during a drought, an extreme drought in northern Israel in Galilee, and some fishermen found this submerged boat, and it was dated to the first century. It took quite a scientific task to get this boat out of the mud and make sure that it didn't get broken into pieces because it was had been laying there for 2,000 years in the mud. So now it's on display at a kibbutz on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee. And you can go in there, and there's the boat that would have held. Now, this they call it the Jesus boat. I think it's probably to attract pilgrims because if you just call it the old boat, who's going to go there? But if you call it the Jesus boat, well, maybe Jesus rode in that boat, and so pilgrims go to see it. And in fact, it's true. Jesus may have ridden in this boat, although there's no evidence of that. But it's the type of boat that the disciples would have had on the Sea of Galilee. In fact, there is a ancient kind of tiled piece of art that exists in the Middle East as well, along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, that was created. And this piece of art has a is of a boat, of a first century boat. And so what somebody did is put together a video to show how this, what the remains of this first century boat, what it could have looked like on the Sea of Galilee. And we can take a look at that video if you're watching online on video. If you're not watching online, you can certainly imagine how this first century boat, the artist kind of the rendering begins to add a mast to it and adds a sail to it and that sort of thing, so that it becomes begins to look like this picture of what was discovered on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, this artwork that what a boat looked like. So there it is, and you can see what that boat would have looked like. The boat that is used in The Chosen for the scene of Peter and Jesus walking on water is a pretty accurate description of the size of this boat from the first century. So that's a good description of that. All right, so now let's go back with that context in mind and take a look again at, this is one of the readings where storms come up on the Sea of Galilee, and let's talk about why Jesus was allowing these things to happen, why Jesus was walking on water, why Jesus did this miracle. Let's read the miracle again, John chapter 6. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. Now you know kind of more about that story. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them, and a strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on water. So they're about halfway across the lake, but they're kind of stuck out there, and they're frightened. Jesus said to them, "It is I, don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. So in this particular miracle, Jesus doesn't do what he does some other times, where Jesus stands up and says, "Quiet, be still," and the wind and the waves quiet down. But here the account says, in this particular time, that Jesus gets in the boat, and immediately the boat is transported to Capernaum, which if you were on that boat, would have freaked you right out, I'm sure. So what is Jesus doing with these miracles, these, you know, calming the wind and the waves, walking on water? Immediately the boat reaches the shore where they're heading. What's Jesus doing here? Is he just having fun? Well, I imagine he was having fun, but that's not why he did this. Nor did he do it to freak his disciples out. But he did it to show who he was, because Jesus was claiming to be God in the flesh. He was claiming to be the very one who created the heavens and the earth. And so, therefore, logically, if he was the creator of the heavens and the earth, then he would have power over the heavens and the earth. And so Jesus is doing these miracles for his disciples to prove to them who he was, that he was who he said he was, namely the creator of the whole world, the universe, that he had power over the wind and the waves. So that's why he's doing these miracles, as a sign, really, pointing to who he is. Does Jesus have to continue to do these miracles ad infinitum forever? No. The signs have been posted. We have these signs to read about in Scripture, that Jesus is who he said he was, that he has this kind of power, that he is God in the flesh. And so because the signs have been posted, in fact, John even talks about some of Jesus' miracles and calls them signs, signposts to who he is. Because the signs have now been posted, Jesus doesn't have to continue to do these kind of miracles all the time, but rather calls us who have not seen to believe. You'll recall at the end of the Gospel of John, Jesus appears to Thomas. No, it's not the Gospel of John. I think it's the Gospel of Luke, whichever. The point is, Jesus appears to Thomas, and a week after his resurrection, and he says to Thomas, "You believe because you've seen. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Who have not seen the signs, but who've read about the signs, who've trusted the testimony of others. And so we trust the testimony of the disciples, of John himself, who wrote the Gospel of John, who was there on the boat that day. We trust his testimony that Jesus is who he said he was, not only the creator of the heavens and the earth, but also our Savior, the one who came to die and rise again for us. And so it's an exciting thing to be out on the Sea of Galilee, to read these different passages of Jesus walking on water, Jesus calming the wind and the waves, and to realize this is where it happened. With 100% certainty, this is a 10 out of 10. The Sea of Galilee is exactly where it was in Jesus' day, and he is who he said he was, our Savior, which is a great comfort and a great joy for us as believers. Well, I want to encourage you to write us at eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. Let us know what you thought of this podcast. Did it increase your understanding of storms on the Sea of Galilee or not? Let us know other topics, other places you'd like us to visit in Israel, other topics you'd like us to cover. Remember that those who hope in the Lord will fly on wings like eagles. And I pray that today's podcast help you to have a stronger faith and to trust in the Lord so that you and your life could fly as on wings like eagles. Thanks for joining us today on the podcast.